away. The crazed waters were driven by northeast and northwest gales that simultaneously caused ferocious currents to smash against the ship from two sides. Winds soon reached 100 miles an hour, with waves that crested at 30 feet or more. Caught in the maelstrom, the Princess Dawan had no place to hide. Her bow pitched and drove under waves that swept over her open decks and flowed aft and then forward when her stern rose, throwing her wildly spinning propellers free of the water. Struck from all directions, she rolled 30 degrees, her starboard rail along the promenade deck disappearing in a torrent of water. Slowly, too slowly, she sluggishly righted herself and plunged on, steaming through the worst storm in recent history. Freezing and unable to see through the blinding snowstorm, Second Mate Li Po, who stood watch, ducked back inside the wheelhouse and slammed the door. In all his days of sailing the China Sea, he had never seen swirling snow in the middle of a violent storm. Po did not think the gods were fair to hurl such devastating winds at the princess after a voyage halfway around the world with less than 200 miles to go before reaching port. In the past 16 hours, she had only made 40 miles. Except for Captain Lee Hunt and his chief engineer down below in the engine room, the entire crew were nationalist Chinese. An old salt with 12 years in the Royal Navy and 18 as an officer for three different shipping company fleets, Hunt had served 15 of those years as captain. As a boy, he went fishing with his father out of Bridlington, a small city on the east coast of England, before shipping out as an ordinary seaman on a freighter to South Africa. A thin man with graying hair and sad, vacant eyes, he was deeply pessimistic about his ship's ability to weather the storm. 2 days earlier, one of the crewmen had called his attention to a crack in the starboard outer hull aft of the single smokestack. He would have given a month's pay to inspect the crack now that his ship was enduring incredible stress. He reluctantly brushed the thought aside. It would have been suicide to attempt an inspection under 100-mile-an-hour winds and the raging water that spilled across the decks. He felt in his bones the princess was in mortal danger and accepted the fact that her fate was out of his hands. Hunt stared into the blanket of snow that pelted the wheelhouse windows and spoke to his second mate without turning. "How bad is the ice, Mr. Poe?"
"Building rapidly, Captain."
"Do you believe we're in danger of capsizing?" Li Po shook his head slowly.
"Not yet, sir, but by morning the load on the superstructure and decks could prove critical if we take on a heavy list."
Hunt thought for a moment, then spoke to the helmsman.
"Stay on course, Mr. Sung. Keep our bow into the wind and waves."
"Aye, sir," the Chinese helmsman replied, feet braced wide apart, hands tightly gripping the brass wheel. Hunt's thoughts returned to the crack in the hull. He couldn't remember when the Princess Dawan had a proper marine inspection in dry dock. Strangely, the crew's uneasiness about leaks, badly rusted hull plates, and weakened and missing rivets was totally lacking. They appeared to ignore the corrosion and the constantly running bilge pumps that strained to carry off the heavy leakage during the voyage. If the princess had an Achilles heel, it was her tired and worn hull. A ship that sails the oceans is considered old after 20 years. She had traveled hundreds of thousands of miles, scathed by rough seas and typhoons during her 35 years since leaving the shipyards. It was little short of a miracle that she was still afloat. Launched in 1913 as the Lanai by shipbuilders Harland and Wolfe for Singapore Pacific Steamship Lines, her tonnage grossed out at 10,758. Her overall length was 497 feet from straight up and down stem to champagne glass-shaped stern with a 60-foot beam. Her triple expansion steam engines put out 5,000 horsepower and turned twin screws. In her prime, she could cut the waves at a respectable 17 knots. She went into service between Singapore and Honolulu until 1931, when she was sold to the Canton Lines and renamed Princess Dawan. After a refit, she was employed running passengers and cargo throughout Southeast Asian ports. During World War II, she was taken over and fitted out by the Australian government as a troop transport, heavily damaged after surviving attacks by Japanese aircraft during convoy duty. She was returned to the Canton Lines after the war and served briefly on short runs from Shanghai to Hong Kong.